Okay. This is supposed to be the meeting of the joint rules committee. A structure provided for in the constitution of the Republic of South Africa as a whatever else I've forgotten. Now we're busy trying to make sure it's correctly done. You see that I don't have a person who's co-chairing with me. So that's what we're sorting out. I see Mr. Steenhuisen is busy offering somebody. And it doesn't work that way, Mr. Steenhuisen. Let's go to the elections first, and then we'll sort that out. So we're busy trying to get a co-chairperson. Manikale is physically attending to that. So I therefore give you a few minutes just to chat to the person next to you. Tell them you love them.
Consider a name change for the committee given the recent Constitutional Court ruling on marijuana. I don't think joint rules is the right name for this committee.
We do have apologies from the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces. I'm not aware of any other apologies, but Mr. Kassel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We have the following apologies. Deputy Chair of the NCOP, House Chairperson Nyambi, Honorable Mwita and Honorable Motara, Honorable Mapuru, who will join us after 12, and Honorable Mushodi, that's the NCOP, and the NA, it's Honorable Waters, Honorable Mashalela, and Honorable Mubendaba. Thank you.
Are there any other apologies, Chief Whip?
Then, Speaker, I would like to also put forward the apology of the Deputy Chief Whip, who's away in Parliament business.
Yes, Honorable Member. Honorable Mukwili. The apology of our Deputy President, Fred Chief Ambo, and Veronica, Commissar Veronica Mende. Thank you. And our spokesperson, Commissar Mbuseni Chris. Okay, I'm sure the names have been recorded. If there are no other apologies, we proceed to the adoption of the agenda. May I have a motion for the adoption of the agenda? Honorable Singh, you move. Honorable Sinodi, second. The agenda has been adopted. Honorable members, can we move on to the draft minutes of the two meetings of the 15th of November 2017 and then 28th March 2018. So we start with the November minutes of a meeting to which I submitted an apology, and therefore I read them, not very well informed myself, but I would like those who were there, because we take the minutes as read. May I have a motion for the adoption of the minutes as a correct record? Honorable Ndakane, move. Is there a seconder? Honorable Chief Whip, second.
But Speaker, you
yes, Madam.
But on the meeting of the 15th of November, it is recorded that Honorable Mbete B, who is the speaker, was present. So you were there. Yes.
Where is that?
Yeah, on the minute. First page. And you are the first person, yes.
Oh. Age. But that's not an excuse. I'm watching you. Honorable members, the minutes have been adopted because they were moved and seconded, and there was no objection to them being adopted as a correct record. May I now take us quickly to see whether there are any matters that are arising which are not in the agenda. That I need minutes. I want to move to the next set, but I just want us to finish with this one. Any matters arising which are not covered by the rest of the agenda as we have adopted. Okay? Mr. Carson?
Just one issue, ma'am, the issue of the review of the joint rules. That matter was at the meeting of November. And it's still before the joint subcommittee on the review of rules. So that's the update on the matter.
So let's just note the fact that the issue of the review of the rules, of the joint rules committee, remember we went through a whole process with the National Assembly rules, but this is about the joint rules, is still outstanding. There's been difficulties in terms of convening the subcommittee of the joint rules. Let's now move to the next set of minutes. Oh, in my mind, we are dealing with, you know what? Okay, now let's come to the 15th November minutes. 28th March. The order is wrong. Okay, let's now come to 28th March. A motion for the adoption. Honorable Chief Whip move. Is there a seconder? Honorable Mtetwa second. And there's no objection, and the minutes have been adopted. Let's just see if there are any matters that are not covered by the agenda that are arising out of the discussion of the 28th March. Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Speaker. Good day, colleagues. The last item just before 6 was the participation in the CRC. I know practically it was implemented, but I don't think we took a formal decision, so I don't know if the chair of committees can assist us in that regard. Because members of the quote-unquote smaller parties were allowed to participate in the public hearings, and they were paid S&Ts, etc., etc., but we didn't receive a formal letter to that effect. But practically it was implemented, as I say.
Now, Chairperson, if I can just take members just a little bit back before what the Honourable Singh has said. The contestation was about the broad representation of political parties in the Constitutional Review Committee, and specifically a request to review the membership of that committee. That is what the joint rules should be seized with. What we did was, after political consultation in the NA with the Chief Whips Forum and also with the Honourable Nyambi in the NCOPEs, is that although the smaller political parties do not have representation on that Constitutional Review Committee, it's not within our powers to increase the membership of that committee. It must come here. However, to accommodate the smaller parties to participate meaningfully due to the reasons that they themselves gave, we said, let us allow one member from each of those smaller parties to be part of the public participation process, the public hearing, so that they themselves can hear. We did not take a decision, or the Joint Rules Committee have not considered the request in terms of the change of the formula of representation on the committee itself.
Now, so what is now corrected the record, and we have an understanding in terms of what Honorable Singh is raising. Now, I don't see that at this point in the life of the Free Parliament, it will serve any purpose for this committee to, in addition to everything else of substance that we must look at and make sure we finish, we tie up, and leave at least the sixth parliament in a position to take things forward meaningfully, that we should now be seized with the issue of the formula at this point, especially for that particular subcommittee. Honorable Chief Whip, I saw your hand, and then Honorable Deputy Speaker.
Chair, I thought that in fact Honorable the Chief Whip of the IFP had assisted us greatly, because at the heart of the matter is participation by the smaller parties. Indeed, it was true that we could not have the smaller parties represented through proxy. They are now, as we speak, represented. Whether, as the House Chair says, at public hearings or even in the meetings of the committee. I've seen parties being part of the deliberations in the meetings of the committee, and which in my view is what the smaller parties were raising. And if that has been attended to, how we configure the representation, maybe something we can leave for the next parliament so that we don't push too far the boundaries. We will know what committees will be there in the next parliament. But for the purpose of parties being represented in this committee, they are represented, and indeed we should stick to that principle of representation by everybody in that committee.
Thanks,
Honourable. Thank you, Speaker. Madam Speaker, I think the Chief Whip is right in saying that what we should be doing in this meeting today is to accept the gratitude that the Chief Whip of the IFP expresses for the responsiveness of the political leadership in accepting the request of the smaller parties to be engaged in the processes. Whether there's a need for a formal change in membership, something that is not on the agenda for now, so we can end the discussion by thanking him for acknowledging the responsiveness and the engagement of inclusiveness of the process, which is what we always want to ensure happens. So with those, I would suggest is how we can deal with it for now.
Honourable Singh?
No, thank you very much, Honourable Singh. Now I'm satisfied. I just don't know from an accounting point of view whether you need like ex post facto approval here for that decision, or you don't need this committee to decide. It's fine, it doesn't matter, but thank you again.
Thanks, Honourable Singh. I see that there are actually no matters arising because you yourself were saying except for this matter. Now, can we move to, on the agenda, the issue of there are no matters arising, the report of the parliamentary group on international relations. Honourable Morota?
Yes. Thank you, Speaker. Speaker, this issue is just one issue. In 2015, when we had our first joint rules meeting, we adopted a formula for composition of delegations that we actually took from the fourth parliament. And we realized after some time that formula was somehow incorrect. Incorrect in a way that if we look into proportionality, at number five, we did not have the EFF, but we had smaller parties. Now, out of that, we consulted with the table staff, and we agreed that we must practice what is correct, and they assisted us with the formula. That included the EFF at an earlier stage rather than the smaller parties. So the document that is before members today, that sheet, is the one that we are operating on presently. And it was not adopted by the joint rules. We have been trying to get it onto the joint rules, but it never happened. So the practice is what you see on the document, where we have at five members the EFF, one member instead of the smaller parties. So our request today is just to adopt it because we are doing it in practice, even in the committee delegations. Secondly, Speaker, in the Chief Whip's Forum, when we dealt with this issue of the membership of international delegations, there was a view that this formula, there was actually an expression of dissatisfaction from the smaller parties about this formula because it only accommodates them when we have nine members of parliament that should go on international delegations. Now, the proposal that came from the Chief Whips was that we come to the joint rules and really look at which ways can we come with without compromising the proportionality of the different parties and according to their votes, but make sure that in this international delegation, the smaller parties are accommodated. That is the request, that the proposal that was made in the Chief Whip's Forum. forum, and that is something that we can talk about. And it, we won't resolve it today, because I believe that the tables will have to come together and look as to if we agree that there is a way that they can be accommodated, that they have to rechange the formula. That is the report that we are bringing here today. The first one is to agree with the one that we are practicing, because all parties were consulted on the one that we are practicing presently. But the second one is the now the request for the inclusion of smaller parties, because usually when we have an invite to this international body speaker, we don't go to that number, which is number of members that have got to participate that are 9. And which means if we don't have the 9 member delegation, smaller parties are in no way participating. So that is the second one. Thank you, Speaker.
Honorable Khalifi, and then Honorable Kwabukaula.
Thank you very much, Speaker. Thanks for the presentation, House Chair Borodo. Although you are mentioning that this matter was discussed in the Chiefs Forum, unfortunately I was not there on the day. And Speaker, if you remember very well, this matter, I raised it on the meeting of the 15th of November. It's me who brought this matter up, because we have been realizing that as the EFF, there is a problem. At some point we had to go and fight amongst us with the small political parties on the delegation, because there was no clear guidelines in terms of the delegation. So now, Speaker, I just want to get a clarity, because the House Chair is also mentioning that the formula that has been used all along, it's a formula that was not accommodating the EFF, because the EFF was not there on the last Parliament. And if you check now, Speaker, we are dealing with this matter in 2018. So since 2014, so it means that the EFF have been robbed to go and represent the EFF in the international with the international delegation. And as the House Chair is also mentioning the fact that there is also some dissatisfaction from the small parties, correctly so to say that they are also accommodated when there are 9 members that are set to go to international. The EFF is also accommodated at 5, at number 5. So if we can get an explanation, how does this formula work? Because as I mentioned earlier on, that it, when it was discussed in the Chiefs Forum, which are also part and parcel, I was not there. So if we can get that clarity. And also just to for this body, just to say something that all along, 4 years down the line, so we're just fixing this thing now, which is not going to help us. Thank you.
No, Speaker, I think Honorable Mukhalif is just trying to confuse us. She was the first person I consulted. We have been using this formula since 2015, then the one that was not adopted. We agreed, and she was also explained to. So they've never been robbed, they've been there at number 5. That's why I talked about the practice and what we have adopted. So what we had adopted was wrong, because the EFF had to come at number 9. But through our consultation, we agreed that no, the EFF should come at number 5. And the smaller parties are the one. Because at number 5 it was ANC3, DA1, smaller parties 1. So that was the problem. So it means we were not considering the proportionality at the time. But it has been working. The practice has been this one that I'm talking about now. We didn't cheat them. I think it was only maybe one trip. And then after that, we realized the mistake and we had to consult with everybody. That is it.
I just want to remind us, Honorable Members, that we all came here midway through 2014 2015 was the second year we were here. So it can't be that some horrible practice had happened for a long, long time. We're now almost done. Remember? We're almost done. Honorable Mulder?
Yes, Chairperson, I
hear. Speaker.
Cha, Babu Mulder. I'm a young man. I'm coaching Babu Kaula. Ah, he nearly killed me.
Thank you very much, Honorable Speaker. I agree with the Honorable Mkhaliphi and the Speaker that he's already sunset. It's at the tail end of this term. But it's important, Speaker, for future references. And I'm glad that I'm talking when my chief whip of the NCOP is already in the house. Because this has never served before the multi-party whip party of the NCOP. It talks about delegations of parliament based on representation at the NA, but there is nothing about the NCOP, yet the NCOP is expected to comply with this. Chief Whip of the NCOP, this must not happen in the future. This parliament is made up of two houses, and whenever things are discussed and agreed upon, the NCOP must also have a say on how things are to be structured. Might not help us now, but for future references, Chief Whip of the NCOP is a house on its own. We cannot take orders. We have to participate and reach consensus. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Singh.
Thank you very much, Honorable Speaker. Now, I want to thank Honorable Barotto for raising this matter. But I agree that it's not possible to resolve on this today. You know, we are at, in the departure lounge, you know, for those of a certain age, instead of saying sunset. So we are in the departure lounge. So, but I think it's a principle, you know, that we need to look at moving forward. The smaller parties may be bigger parties when we come back, and the bigger parties may be smaller parties when we come back. So, but I think the principle that we must adopt, Honorable Speaker, is that, you know, it should not be warm bodies from a party, but it should be inclusive participation. When we go on these trips, we don't go there as members of a political party, but we go there as a delegation of parliament. And I think inclusivity is a very, very important principle. Although I know the ruling party wants to send 7, 8 members sometimes and things like that, but I think what we bring back is it must be an experience that all of us are able to share in when we come back from a particular country. And so I think that's what we must look at moving forward. This arose also when a certain member of one of the parties could not go on a trip with Sport and Rec, but I think the trip's been called off in any case. And he came to me objecting vehemently from the NFP. I see Honorable Kubisa is not here. So I wrote to Honorable Frolic about that matter, but I think that trip has been postponed indefinitely to Cuba. But I think we really need to look at this again from a point of view of inclusivity rather than just warm bodies from a particular party. Thank you.
Honorable Mulder.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hear the colleagues talk about smaller parties, but on this thing I only see the term other parties. But be that as it may, it's correct. We're at the end of this term. You know, it's not going to be worthwhile to change, basically, of what we're doing now. We'll have to put it on the agenda for the sixth parliament when we come back and have different permutations in terms of members. I think that what colleagues maybe should think about in the meantime is it necessary for the ruling party to have a 50+1 majority on delegations that represent parliament? Because the problem is, even if you look at the other parties, in terms of the formula, in the current permutation, the other parties are 9 parties. So even if you've got an opportunity for another party, then once in 9 trips, you may get a chance. So if you represent parliament, if you do it differently, but in the meantime, it doesn't make sense to change it now. We'll have to see what happens after the election.
Honorable Barotto?
No, Speaker, I do understand that, and it is something that can be deliberated on in the next parliament about the inclusion of the smaller parties. But having said that, I think that my first proposal was to say we have a document that is in practice for now. although we know that we may not have other international trips in the next year, but just to show members that this is what we are practicing now, the documents that we have given to them, and do they accept that we continue that way, because that was not adopted. Thanks.
Honorable Chief, do I see your hand?
It's a small thing, Honorable Speaker. You know, one of the responsibilities of chief whips is to know who's where. Now, as a chief whip, to only know that your members are somewhere in New York and you don't know how they got there is not something that is really, that should be permissible. I will, even on this, how we arrive at the warm bodies, I would think that there must be consultation with the chief whips of parties, so that the members who go, you don't have a situation where from a particular party is only a particular member who's always going, because there's no consultation with the chief whips. So if that can also be embedded in the principles, because it doesn't sound well, but not in these international trips. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Chief Whip. Colleagues, may I now move us? I think Honorable Roto's point is almost a moot point. We are practicing what you are talking about. Well, the formality of adopting it is already confirmed by the practice. And we will soon be going to elections, and there will be a new permutation which will inform how these issues will be dealt with in future. May I now take us to item 6, which is about the progress report from committees on the report of the high-level panel. Is that you, Honorable Frawley?
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. Honourable Speaker, there is a brief report available. I'll request the Divisional Manager, Mrs. Beck, just to take us through the report so that we can also then see what the response is from committees and the way forward in this regard.
Mrs. Beck.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Speaker, Deputy Speaker, House Chairperson, Honourable Members and colleagues. On the 6th of June, by the ATC, the high-level panel report was referred to 24 committees, including the Joint Rules Committee, with a request to submit a report by the 28th of September. Out of those committees, 7 committees have submitted their reports. 5 committees are still in progress. The balance of committees, some of them had to prioritize legislation and other key oversight, but there has been a request that all committees must reflect on the high-level panel report in the legacy reports that they have to conclude. So that's the status of that. Thank you.
There's a brief report, Honourable Members. Honourable Steenhuisen.
Speaker, as you know, there was a committee that was set up to look at the high-level panel report. There was a committee set up to look at the high-level panel report, and a number of recommendations arose from that, and it was agreed that it would have to form part of the legacy report for the 6th Parliament, because it was unlikely that, given the time frame left in the life of the 5th Parliament, we would be able to in any way, shape or form meaningfully unpack those. And so I think that these reports that we've received from some of the committees, I haven't read through all of them, I only got many of them this morning, that didn't come through with my pack. And I would like to go through them. But I would imagine that what needs to happen is these now need to append it to that committee's report on how the high-level panel report will be handled going forward and the recommendations. And I think it is important that the committees have not yet reported do engage with the report and provide some form of legacy document for the 6th Parliament to unpack and engage with once it returns in June next year. As you know, my concern has always been that, much like the Korda report and the Asma report, you know, once these things fall between parliaments without an effective handover mechanism and a proper legacy handover, that they tend to fall through the cracks for a very, very long time, and the work and expense and time that went into them eventually becomes outdated, and we then embark on a whole new process. I think the high-level panel report is an excellent document, and I think it needs to guide this parliament and various other committees going forward into the sixth parliament about where improvements can be made and what we should be focusing on. And I would hate to have that body of knowledge and information and the huge amounts of public participation particularly that went into it wasted. So I think that legacy handover report to the sixth parliament has to be comprehensive and directive in terms of what would need to be done pretty soon once the sixth parliament establishes itself.
Honourable Frolic.
No, just to concur with the Honourable Steenis and Honourable Speaker, is that there's a template that has been prepared by the committee section and that we've sent out to all the chairpersons, both in the National Assembly and the Honourable Nyambe also in the NCLC, where we ask them to report on the key matters that has arisen over in this fifth parliament, but specifically to report on the high-level panel report and make the necessary recommendations on how to take the process forward. These legacy reports will be completed by the committees by the 28th of November. So we will definitely follow up on those committees, Honourable Speaker, that are still in the process of looking at it so that they can comply with the request from the Joint Rules, or the decision of the Joint Rules Committee.
Honourable Singh.
Thank you very much, Age Before Beauty. Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. No, I think I missed the stats. I don't know if there's a document in our packs. You know, it came a bit late on the statistics that were provided of which committees have complied in dealing with these matters, because what are we going to do with those that have not complied? Is there a time frame by which they have to comply? And are they going to be forced to do that? I know there's going to be a comprehensive report that Honourable Frolic mentioned, but those particular committees, have they got it on the agendas to deal with the high-level panel? And I think the other thing is, if we can get those stats from that were provided. And then lastly, I think in terms of the legacy report, I mean, these reports should form the basis of work that the new committees have to deal with when they come in the sixth parliament. So we mustn't lose it along the way. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Deputy Speaker.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. I'd like to start by saying that perhaps the meeting today should congratulate and appreciate the initiative of the Speaker's Forum to initiate this process. I think that because of its strategic value in the work of the legislative sector, so that broader eye at looking at our work from a strategic point to assess why the legislation that we have passed since 1994 has not perhaps had the impact it should have and what can be done differently is an important contribution to the legislative sector, broadly speaking. And so for that reason, we should appreciate that. But secondly, we should also look at beyond the high-level panel report and its implication for the work of committees, that it is in the character of the work of committees that they should be evaluating the work that they do, the legislation they pass, the institutions we create as a result of the legislation, so that we have a better oversight and accountability perspective of that, and not wait for a long period before we make an assessment. I think this, for me, is what comes out of and what informed the reason for making assessment. I do remember that, for example, the Speaker was complaining regularly about the equality courts that were meant to be operational throughout the country to ensure implementation of what literally kills the tendency for racist tendencies to go up and so on without recourse to the justice system.
effectively, intervening quickly and so on. And so, in a sense, the quality of that work is important for the reason that it signals to all committees of parliament to do that work. But it also signals to the leadership of parliament to reflect on the time committees deserve to be able to do a better quality of work to assess this legislation and the institutions it gives birth to. And for me, that's the part that the role and the manner in which parliament works, we should communicate to the sixth parliament and say that in making this assessment, perhaps you may want to take forward the implications of the time you must spend on doing this work that we had outsourced to the high-level panel. And the work that we said we would do, I guess is the next point, the implications for our public participation model and so on, has some reference to that point. Thanks, Madam Speaker.
Yes, the next item deals with the public participation model, but I want to just dwell a little on a point that Honorable Steenhuisen has raised, not for the first time, a number of times, in relation to our responsibility to see to it that the recommendations of the report don't just go to, you know, shelves somewhere all over the place. Of course, today we are in a different era. So we're not talking about these issues in terms of the physical form. But I did go back to the table staff to say, let's go to the records and see what we did with the recommendations, because I happened to be here for the first, second, and third parliaments, pulled away for one term and came back in this term. I know that those issues were supposed to have been channeled for attention, for implementation, and I think this body deserves to have what in fact we did, the information about what we did with those recommendations of earlier studies. So, Mr. Klaso?
We will circulate the document.
Okay, all right. So, yes, Honorable, I'm sorry, I don't know your name. I hate.
Ah, don't worry.
Honorable Mukwili, the famous Honorable Mukwili.
No, thanks. No, thank you very much, Chair.
Chair, can the Chief Whip of the NC withdraw that?
What is he saying? What are you saying, Chief Whip? No, Chair, Speaker, my issue as we are deliberating on the recommendations and the responsibilities that Parliament should implement in terms of the recommendations, rather, of the High Panel report. I'm now asking myself as to whether are we doing justice to other reports that were put before us before we came in anyway as the fifth parliament. That I'm referring to, if my memory serves me well, the report that was presented before parliament by Judge Dikgang Moseneke, if my memory serves me well, where it was stipulating the responsibilities and the work that the party representatives, especially in the NCOP, are supposed to do. We've been asking these questions as political parties in the NCOP that actually what is our role? Because in terms of the constitution, political parties are expected to have expression in the running of the house itself. But the manner in which the rules and the legislation is stipulated, it prohibits the participation of other political parties. And there was a research done by Judge, I think it's Judge Moseneke, if I'm right. Advocate Pindela will correct me on that. There were recommendations that were put before, especially for political parties that doesn't have the provincial whips in it. So are we as parliament going just to concentrate on the recommendation that is put before us by the high level panel, or are we supposed to then, when we are preparing for the sixth parliament, tabulate to say these are the recommendations that were put before parliament even before the high level panel was established, then this is how best can we deal with them, because they were a reference to legislations and acts and all those things. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mkwili. I hereby vest powers in the Chief Whip of the NCOP and Mr. Pindela to see the Honorable Mkwili after this meeting and take this issue forward on the basis of a better understanding of the issues she's raising. Thank you very much. Can we now move to the last item? This relates to matters of great interest, Honorable Members, dealing with what came out
bigger.
Yes, Honorable Mkwili.
I don't understand when we raise an issue in a meeting. I understand that this is a joint sitting, and being a joint sitting, it means it deals with the issues both of two houses, which is the NCOP and the NA.
Let me explain to you, Honorable Mkwili. Otherwise, we will be dealing with your issue forever.
No, listen
to the chair. What happens here is that the agenda is based on joint issues, not National Assembly issues and NCOP issues. It has to be from the word go, that which has long been identified and agreed as joint issues, some of which the Constitution spells out are of joint interest. When we are together, we look at that kind of issue. So I'm not throwing away the importance of what you are raising. I'm just saying the two gentlemen have requested must assist to take the issues of your concern forward. So now I'm saying let's go to item 7, where the impact of the high-level panel report on Parliament's public participation model should preoccupy us. And I should say, Honorable Members, that when I read this document, a couple of issues were of great interest, and I think we have a responsibility not just to gloss over what's raised in this report. Because I think it's not only about a public participation model as an issue of, about which there's a document we must adopt and hurry out of the fifth parliament. But we should take this opportunity as a system, a constitutional dispensation that has finished a quarter of a century, and therefore be saying to ourselves, are there lessons, are there areas in what we have experienced, in the things that we have seen, we have actually come across as challenges, and what have these lessons told us about how we must improve when the sixth parliament comes back?
So I'm really saying this discussion must be a very serious one, in particular about local government, about consultation in the process of the public participation model, consultation with the people. And there's language in the document that points us to some of the things we've been doing. We've got thick documents we take to our communities. People must go through this thick document, and then we're going to come and want to hear them telling us what their contribution is, instead of allowing people to raise issues which are their difficulties, their problems, how we can contribute in ensuring that we address those issues in the process of the implementation. Actually, there was a study that is referred to here by the World Bank, which points out that government often has policies, good policies. There is money to do certain, to implement certain programs on the ground, but it doesn't happen because in the implementation we miss out on some critical things which might look very small and unimportant but are actually what is critical. So I'm drawing to our attention this document that we now ought to be focusing on about the impact of the high-level report on public Parliament's public participation model. Now, having made those comments, I open the floor for discussion. For me, on this most important area of discussion as Parliament, how Parliament itself in the sixth Parliament is going to therefore take these observations that have been highlighted by the high-level panel into account as we come back and we are an improved body, we are an improved collective of public representatives. We actually care not about the English we speak in these meetings, but about what difference the things we agree on makes in the lives of people there in the communities. Honorable Chief Whip, I saw your hand. Honorable Stienazen, Honorable Mukwili, Honorable Mkalipi, Honorable Labuskahni.
Chair, the, well, if it's only my office that never got this document until now, my apologies. But I only got it here. It therefore follows that I have not read the document. I have not gone into the document. How do I discuss something that I have not gone into? So it would have been better, Speaker, had we received the document earlier, gone through it, then we would make, as you say, quite informed inputs into the document. At the present moment, I can't make any input until I have gone into the document and I see the links that the document makes between the high-level panel observations and how are we going to improve our public participation owing to the high-level panel. I would then propose that perhaps we need to take a break, come back at a time when we would have read the document. If we were to zoom into the document now, I think we'll be doing something that will not be useful to Parliament.
Honourable members, should we break for an hour? Honourable members, can we break for... This document is important. I really think it's important. So if the situation of most members is as the Chief Whip was describing, then let's allow members the opportunity to read the document. But when do we come back to it? It's the last item before us. So it is last, but it is most important because it's about improvement and the way forward based on that understanding of the issues highlighted here. When do we propose to come back? Secretary of the National Assembly, Honorable Stian Hazen, before Mr. Kwaso.
Madam Speaker, I also think that, you know, there's a lot of people that are not here today. And, you know, I think particularly Honorable Madise would be an important contributor to any discussion. So I think it's best that we do delay it. I have skim read it, and I've got some specific contributions I'll make which I'll hold over. But maybe during the long adjournment next Wednesday, we can maybe convene then.
Sounds like the chairperson might not be here still next week, but would be back first week of November. Anyway, we'll look into that one. And let's just agree that we must allow time for honorable members to read the document. That's just the principle. Yes, Honorable Mkhalipi?
Yeah, thank you very much, Speaker. Yes, I agree that let us adjourn. But I wanted to raise a point of clarification from you, because I was listening to you explaining the fact that it looked like we have to prepare for the sixth parliament in order to continue with this work. So I wanted to get a clarity to you, Speaker, because if you notice, this joint rules committee, it takes time to take place. The last one was on the 15th of November, 28th of March this year, and it's already October. So now, if we can clarify ourselves in order to have one understanding, because as you mentioned, the fact that this document is very important and all political parties must also participate in this process. What was the time frame when you appoint the high-level panel in order to have this focus now? And going with this document and go and summarize ourselves in order to participate, we need to know what is expected of the political party's contribution in order to have a focus, a document that needs to be produced by when?
The high-level panel existed and did its work in 24 months because it included traveling around, having public hearings on specific areas, ensuring that workshops were arranged with specialist sectors or sectoral bodies in the society. So it did a thorough job in, as I say, 24 months. Now, you can't say you will need 24 months, no. But hopefully the report we will leave behind, which all parliaments since the first parliament in 1994 have been doing, is to ensure that they arrive at key areas around which they leave a record of what had been tried, the experience that parliament would have had in the particular areas that they had focused on, and they would make recommendations, specific recommendations to the next parliament. So even we, when we came in 2014, it was the recommendation of the fourth parliament that led to the formation of the high-level panel. So, because remember, we're all having one set of bosses, and it's the public out there, it's our people who are expecting great things from us. And so when we do things, it's not as political parties. It's as South Africans that have been elected to represent the, you know, the needs of our people, their hopes, and in fact, the high level of confidence they have in the body
of knowledge and experience that is here within these walls as parliament, not so much as political parties. So that's why we sit here in these meetings, because we're bringing together our different perspectives to come to one pot where we deposit what we have done for the good of the future, for the good of our people. Honorable Singh.
Thank you very much, Honorable Speaker. Now, I agree with colleagues that we should postpone this discussion. But what I'd like to think is that the next time we meet the drafters of this, you've got to look at also the financial and time implications of implementing some of these recommendations. Now, some of them possibly we can implement tomorrow, because they're easy to implement. It's not going to take anything for us to do. But others may be more medium or long term. And knowing the parlous situation we find ourselves in as a country in terms of finances, and we've been arguing in our Joint Standing Committee on Finance of Parliament that we are being shortchanged in terms of resources to do all the things that we require to be done. So I think we need to prioritize as well and get a financial costing of the implications of doing these very nice things, which I agree they're nice, but we need to look at the finances as well.
Well, members, I'd like to adjourn the meeting and let's prepare for the afternoon, but let's read the document and let's promise ourselves to come back before disappearing into the festive season to this particular committee to do a thorough job of this document. Thank you very much.
Yeah.